The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first book today is called Mouse's First Summer, and it's about a little mouse who is now going to see his first summer. One sunny summer day, Mouse and Minka came along to play. And Mouse is the little one, and Minka is a big mouse. Tiptoe, quick, off went Minka. Wait for me, said little mouse. What's over here, wondered Mouse. Drippy, sweet, wet, red watermelon. Tasty, said Minka. What's under there, wondered Mouse. Marching, munching, bold black ants. Out of the way, said Minka. What's down there, wondered Mouse. Tipsy, tumbly, tickly, good green grass. Whee, said Minka. And down the hill they rolled together. What's up there, wondered Mouse. Oh, so high, bright blue sky. Ooh, said Minka. And they lie down in the green grass and look up at the bright blue sky. What's this for, wondered Mouse. Fluttery, float, an orange kite. Hold on, said Minka. And they hold on to the string as the kite flies high in the air. And what's in here, wondered Mouse. Sweet, tart, sip, yellow lemonade, oh yummy. Oops, said Minka, and the glass of lemonade falls over after they've only had a taste. Now what do we do with this, wondered Mouse. Nibbly crumb, soft white bread, oh yum, yum, yum. And sticky smooth brown peanut butter, even better. And they're putting some peanut butter on a piece of bread. And jiggly drip, purple jelly. And there they have a peanut butter sandwich with jelly on top. Yum, said Minka, and little mouse gets his first taste of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. What's all around, wondered Mouse. Wink, blink, fireflies glowing. Try to catch one, said Minka, and they run around trying to catch a firefly. Then, all of a sudden, crackle, pop, boom. What's that, wondered Mouse. Fireworks. Every color in the sky. Hooray, said Minka. Hooray, first summer, said Mouse. And this month is the beginning of summer. And one thing we do in summer is we go outside and play, and we have picnics, sometimes with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and lemonade. And sometimes we fly kites in the beautiful sky. And then in the summer, in the month of July, we celebrate 4th of July. And one of the things about 4th of July is we see fireworks at night, beautiful, colorful fireworks. Another thing we like to do in the summer is to go to the beach. Now, this story is called Paddington Sets Sail, and it's about Paddington Bear and his family, the Browns. One morning, Mr. Brown had a surprise. We're taking a trip to the beach, he said. Paddington, Jonathan, and Judy all cheered. Mrs. Brown and Mrs. Bird, their helper, were excited too. Paddington had never been to the beach. He did not know what to bring, so he packed everything. His boots, his honey, his umbrella, his tennis racket, his clock, his muffler for the winter, and all sorts of things you do not need on the beach. Soon they were on their way. Paddington poked his head out the window. He sniffed the salty sea air. At the beach, Paddington got a pail, shovel, sunglasses, and a float. He was ready for everything. He still has his suitcase in his hand. I hope he puts it down before he goes in the water. The tide was low, so they went in the water. Jonathan and Judy splashed and swam. Paddington floated in the waves. And there he is in his rubber float, enjoying the water. At lunchtime, Mr. Brown had a great idea. He said, "Let's have a sandcastle contest." Paddington, Judy, and Jonathan would each make a sandcastle. The biggest castle would win. Paddington wanted to win. First, he found a perfect spot. He dug a moat. He carried pails and pails of sand. He made walls and windows. Paddington placed his hat on top of the castle. Finally, he was done. Paddington's big sandcastle was perfect. Paddington sat inside his castle. Sandcastle work was hard, and he was very tired. So, of course, he fell asleep. Oh, no! The tide had come in and knocked down Paddington's sandcastle. It carried Paddington's pail out to sea, with Paddington the bear in the pail. And all he had in his hand was a shovel. The Browns were worried. It was getting late. They found Paddington's hat, but could not find Paddington. Where had he gone? Then the Browns spotted people gathered near the pier. They ran towards the crowd. It was Paddington. People believed that Paddington had floated all the way across the sea, so they took his picture. "Did you float here in this pail?" a girl asked. "Yes, I used my shovel as a paddle," said Paddington. The sun was setting. It was time to go home. "Did you enjoy your trip, Paddington?" asked Judy. "Yes, I did. Not many bears go to sea in a bucket," said Paddington. The Browns were so happy to have Paddington back. "Today's trip was a bit shorter than when you came from Darkest Peru," said Mr. Brown. Paddington did not hear, because he was fast asleep. In summer, we can often get very, very hot. There are many days where the temperatures are so hot, we can barely stand to go outside. This book is about heat in the summer, and it is called Summer. And it's by Cao Wenzhuan. In summer, the burning hot sun hangs in the sky. Sparrows hide in the willow trees, as does a cricket in the tall reeds. A frog floats on a lotus leaf beneath the umbrella of another lotus leaf. Ducks sleep with heads tucked in their wings. Hens doze in the dusty shade of haystacks, and the melon farmer fans himself under a canopy. And by the river, a girl fishes for her meal. In summer, the grasslands in Africa are parched. The animals seek shelter from the sun, their trampling feet stirring up a thick cloud of dust. "Tree!" the sharp-eyed jackal shrieks. The animals all dash off as fast as they can in a mighty race for the tree. "I got to the tree first," said the elephant. "No, I did," said the leopard. "It was me," said the warthog. "It was me," said the big brown bear. "I was here first," said the rhinoceros. The smallest of them all, the field mouse, gets shoved aside. Her little voice tries to shout, "But it was me. I got to the tree first." In summer, the tree is barely alive. Only a few branches, leaves are hanging on. Most branches are completely bare, with nothing growing from the twigs. The animals' quarrels turn into a fight. The frightened field mouse dodges to the side, squeaking as loud as she can, "Stop fighting! Stop it!" The greedy elephant is so big, he takes the whole tree for himself. The animals shout at him, "No fair, we got here first." The elephant gets angry and trumpets, "Go away, go away. No one wants to hear your squabbling on such a hot day." He sucks up dust with his trunk and blows it onto anyone who dares to disagree. And there they're all running to get out of the dust the elephant is blowing at them. They glare at the elephant. Suddenly, the animals all start to laugh, one by one. They finally see that under the leafless tree, there is no shade. The elephant is sweltering in the sun, just like the rest of them. They laugh until a scene unfolds before their eyes. A father and his son walk across the grasslands together. The father's shadow completely covers the little boy. All the animals watch in silence as the father and son walk towards the horizon. As this pair gets farther and farther away, only the shape of the father can be seen. And then he, too, disappears. In the heat of the grassland, the animals are still. Sometime later, the lynx says, and the lynx is a kind of wild cat. The lynx says, "Come here, little mouse, and rest in my shade." The jackal goes next to stand by the lynx, and he makes a shade. The leopard comes over, making more shade. Cool, dark air is brought by the brown bear. And there the brown bear is standing behind the other animals, who are all standing in his shadow. And then comes the rhino. The rhino casts an even bigger shadow. And all the animals are resting in the shade of his shadow. Flapping his large ears like fans, the elephant joins his companions at last. And then one tiny beetle scurries over to the field mouse. In summer, the big sun burns bright until a cloud appears. It drifts over the animals on a journey across the empty sky. But will it drift away again? It stays. And all in summer, all the friends cool off in the shade of that cloud, all together. And that is the end of the book called Summer. Our next book is called Little Red Henry by Linda Urban, and it's about a little boy with red hair. Ever since time began, Mama and Papa and Mem, his sister, and Sven, his big brother, had loved and cuddled and smooched and squeezed their little red-headed Henry. They made his breakfast and picked out his clothes and ferried him here and there, and if he hadn't gotten so big, he might never have known the feeling of the earth under his feet, because they had carried him everywhere. Frankly, little red-headed Henry was sick of it. "I'm not a baby," said Henry. "Of course you're not," said Mama. "Now sit down in your itty-bitty chair and let Mommy make you breakfast." The rest of the family was not to be outdone. "Let me," said Papa. "Let me," said Mem. Let me, said Sven. No, thank you, said Henry. I can do it myself. And he did. He took off his bib. He got down out of that tiny baby high chair and sat in a big chair. He ate his breakfast all by himself. Now, he did make a mess of the table. There was jelly all over his face and jelly all over the table, and milk was spilled and apple juice was spilled. But he had done it all himself. After breakfast, Mama swooped in low. Let Mommy brush your whittled twofers, and the rest of the family raced to the bathroom, elbowing and calling dibs. Let me, cried Papa. Let me, shouted Mem. Let me, hollered Sven. No, thank you, said Henry. Pretty please, whimpered Papa. Just the molars? I can do it myself, said Henry. And he did. It seemed like a good time to visit his friend Gibson. Henry went to his bedroom to get dressed. As usual, his clothes had been laid out for the day. I'd prefer something else, said Henry. Something sporty, said Papa, and tried to give him a hat. Something snuggly, said Mem, and tried to give him a nice, fluffy sweater. Something snazzy, said Sven, and he handed him a pair of shorts with all sorts of fancy patterns on them. I can choose my clothes myself, said Henry. So Henry tried on lots of different things, and finally he found what he wanted to wear, and he got dressed all by himself. Henry headed next door to his friend Gibson's house. Let me call Gibson's granny and make arrangements, cried Mama. Let me, said Papa. Let me, said Mem. Let me, said Sven. But Henry did it all by himself. He was already knocking on Gibson's door with his own bare knuckles. I can do it myself, he said as he knocked on the Gibson's door. And he did. All day, Henry and Gibson played in the Gibson's backyard. They pushed each other on the swing and crafted castles in the sandbox and commanded robot armies. They teeter-totted and monkey-barred and triumphed gloriously on the battlefield. It was an amazing day. And this picture shows Henry and Gibson playing in the yard and with his sister and his brother and his mom and his dad peeking over the fence just to keep an eye on him. At supper, Henry poured his own glass of milk without spilling a drop. He cut his own lasagna and buttered his own bread and proudly devoured every detestable pea on his plate. The rest of the family had no appetite. They were so sad that little Red Henry was growing up and did not need them as much anymore. They were listless. They were adrift. Without Henry to do things for, they had no purpose. What are we to do? They asked one another. What do you want to do? Asked Henry. Well, said Mama. There might, said Papa. Be something, said Mem and Sven. All evening long, Mama, Papa, Mem, Sven, and Henry practiced and painted and tapped and typed. There Mama is painting a wall, and Mem is typing a story on the typewriter, and Sven is playing the violin while Henry and his dad are dancing. They waltzed and wallpapered and scribbled and scratched. It was very late. Henry went upstairs. He put on his pajamas all by himself. He brushed his teeth all by himself. He climbed into his bed all by himself. He was all by himself. And there he is, sitting up in bed. Could someone please tuck me in? he called down the stairs. "Oh," said Mama, "of course." "Let me," said Papa. "Let me," said Mem. "Let me," said Sven. "Well," said Henry, "you can all tuck me in," said Henry. "Tonight, anyway." Mama and Papa and Mem and Sven loved and cuddled and snuggled and squeezed their little red-handed Henry. They fluffed up his pillows and tucked in his covers and wished him sweet dreams and sang him a long lullaby, most of which he did not hear through his own soft snores. Our next book is Baby Wren and the Great Gift, and it's written by Sally Lloyd Jones. Now, a wren is a little brown bird. In the narrow crevice of a giant rock face in a great wide canyon, a baby inside her tiny nest peeped out. The baby was little and brown and a wren, and she watched in the air from her nest in the sky. The world was filled with such wonderfulness. Monarch butterflies in the milkweed plants, breezes in the switchgrass, and a glittering river that ran on. The baby hopped out onto the ledge. Just then, in a flash of blue, a kingfisher bird dived down into the river and came up and out with a fish. "Oh," said the tiny wren, "how wonderful." "Come fishing with me," the kingfisher said. "But I can't dive," said the baby. The kingfisher flew low over the water and away. "Why aren't I a kingfisher," wondered the baby, "so I could fish too?" But no one answered. Monarch butterflies still played in the milkweed. A breeze rustled in the switchgrass, and the glittering river ran on. The baby crept along the wall. Just then, some ring-tailed cats scampered up the rock face. They did cartwheels on their ring tails. "Oh," said the tiny wren, "how wonderful." "Do cartwheels with us," they said. "But I don't have a ring tail," said the baby. The ring-tailed cats cartwheeled together up the rocky face and away. "Why aren't I a ring-tailed cat?" the baby wondered, "so I could do cartwheels too." But no one answered. Monarchs played in the milkweed, a breeze rustled in the switchgrass, and the glittering river ran on. Just then, some sunfish splashed around and around in the water. "Oh," said the tiny wren, "how wonderful. Come and splash with us," they said. "But I can't swim," said the baby. Sunfish dropped back into the deep, dark water. "Why aren't I a sunfish?" the baby wondered, "so I could swim and splash too." But no one answered. Monarchs played in the milkweed. A breeze rustled in the switchgrass, and the glittering river ran on. Just then, the winds picked up, and a great storm blew into the canyon. The baby hopped back onto the ledge. High above her, two eagles circled in the sky. "Oh," said the wren, "how wonderful. Come and see the thunderclouds," they said. "But the storm is too big for me," said the baby. The eagles soared higher and higher and away. "Why aren't I a brave eagle," the baby wondered, "so I could fly in the stormy sky? What can I do that's wonderful?" And just then, the sun painted the whole canyon pink. What a beautiful sky, pink. The tiny little bird sat very still and very quiet and looked and looked and looked at the sky. What she saw couldn't fit inside her. It bumped into her heart. It dazzled in her eyes and it pushed on her throat until the tiny trembling bird, with all her might, sang her song by herself, a song. For all the sky and the shining sun, for milkweed, butterflies, and rivers that run, for kingfishers, sunfish, ring-tailed cats, for eagles and thunderclouds and storms blowing through, and that I'm here too. Thank you. And her bright carol reached down to the river and leapt off the cliff walls and soared up into the sky. You are only littles, called the eagles, but your song is bigger than the whole canyon. How wonderful! And the kingfisher dived, and the ring-tailed cats climbed, and the sunfish splashed, and the eagles soared. And a little wren filled the air with her singing. And the glittering river ran on. Our last book today is called Lucky Song by Vera B. Williams. Now, this little Evie wanted to... Now, this little Evie wanted to do something. So she got ready. She got up out of her bed, put on her slacks, and put on her T-shirt. She wanted something new to wear, and on the hook she found it. It was a baseball cap. She wanted something new to play with, so her grandpa made it for her. She wanted to go out, and the door flew open. She wanted to run up a steep hill, and her legs carried her up the steep hill. She wanted to fly her new kite that the grandpa made for her, and the wind took it up, up, up. Then she shouted, "Look how high!" And her mother ran to look. When she wanted to go home for supper, her grandma had it all ready. When she wanted her blanket, her sister wrapped it around her. There she is at her supper, falling asleep over her bowl of soup. And then she wanted a song. And her father came and sang it to her. All about Evie, who flew her kite up with the clouds and the speedy planes. If you want to hear that song again, we would have to go back to the beginning of this book. And we just do not have time for that today. We're going to finish up with a few poems from the Please and Thank You book. It's a book about manners. This is called Pull Yourself Together, Pamela Pig. Pamela Pig is simply a mess. Her hair is uncombed and there's ink on her dress. Her hands are filthy, and I have a hunch that chocolate pudding was part of her lunch. Doesn't she know that it isn't polite to make others look such a sad sight? Well, we run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. This content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.